What's up, everybody? Welcome back once again to Double Tap. This is episode 14. That's the one before 15, just in case you haven't kept track. Today is Tuesday, April 28th. I am one of your co-hosts, Dave, and with me, as always, is my homeboy.
What's going on, everybody? It's the host who doesn't know the most, Tony.
Yeah, it's the heist with the least.
Yep.
Is heist a word? I don't know what the past tense of host is. Is that a thing?
Sure. Hostesses, so, like cupcakes.
I love hostesses.
Yeah.
But anywho, so much stuff to talk about today. Let's start off, as always, Tony. What you been playing, my guy?
Well, I played a tiny bit of Batman Arkham City, whatever. The second one is.
Yes.
And Shovel Knight came out, and I was like, you know what? I'm a little tired of playing Batman. I'm going to go play some Shovel Knight. And that was awesome. I love playing Shovel Knight. Great game.
So, let's go from one to the other. Where did you get to on Arkham City?
Like I said, I had to restart, so I got to the point where I think I'm at the museum or whatever it is, and Cobblepot's there.
Yeah.
And he had just froze one of the police officers with Mr. Freeze's gun.
Now, I don't know if you knew this, but Nolan North did the voice for the Penguin in all the Batman games.
Oh, no, and, no, didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Nolan North is the voice of Drake from the Uncharted series.
Yeah, I knew that part, yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah, a little bit of info for ya.
Right on. So, yeah, that's where I got all two on Batman.
And all right.
I'm half tempted not to finish it and just have you spoil a story for me here in a little bit. Maybe one of these episodes. But I don't know, it's like, there's so many games I want to play.
You gotta get that experience in there, bro.
Right, well, I don't really feel like they changed the mechanics up that much. You know, there's just a couple different counters in this one, so.
Yeah, but it's really the story, honestly, for me, that drove me to finish the other ones. Especially with Arkham Knight coming out. Like, you would kind of have to know what all went down, especially in Arkham City, because Arkham Knight is directly taking place, like, 2 years after the fact, I think it is.
Oh, nice.
Or something like that. But, like, there's a lot of things, very important things that happen in this universe. In that game that went down, that if you picked up Arkham Knight, you would probably be like, why is this like this? Or why is this person like this? Or where is this person in particular?
Oh, gotcha. So
that's why I feel like, as, you know, continuity, that'd be like me going to you like, oh, so I played Mass Effect 1, but I think I'm just going to go into Mass Effect 3.
That's fine.
You know what I mean?
I'll explain the story to you, man.
But it's one of those things where it's just like, I feel like it's really good and it deserves to be played.
Right on.
It deserves to be played. It's the game you deserve. But anywho, all right, Shovel Knight. So that was a bag of fun, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then actually I went back and played Game of Thrones Episode 2 and then downloaded Episode 3 and played through all of that. So, yeah, that's that was very frustrating. Ooh. And good at the same time. It's like one of those where they did a thing where it seemed like no matter what choice you picked, the outcome was still going to be the same.
Ah.
So I kind of felt like I didn't have a choice, but you did have a choice. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like
right.
Where I picked, there for one instance, you have, you know, two different factions or whatever you want to call it. And the one faction, they have a garrison in the other faction's castle or whatever.
Okay.
And you play as the lord of the castle there. And then the person that's in charge of that garrison, and he's trying to get into your great hall, and I'm conflicting with him and trying to make it to where I don't let him go in there. I'm trying to actually, like, be a dick to him. And no matter what choice you pick, he still, like, just walks past you, and you can't, like, really fight him or whatever. And I kind of felt like that was, you know, okay, if that's going to happen that way, just don't give me the option. Just let a scene play and I'll just watch it instead of interrupting it with a button press. You know what I mean?
So just from what I heard and what I know of the show, to me, it sounds like you're trying to prevent butt rape because you said you don't want to let him into your great hall, finger quote, and you're being a dick to him. Finger quote. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it sounds dirty. Yeah, you don't want to let him in your great hall, and you can't fight him, but he goes in anyway.
Right, yeah.
I'm a retard. Everybody don't listen to me.
It's all right, man.
But, you can listen to me after this, but just don't listen to me what I just said.
But like the whole third episode was rather frustrating up until the last point, and then the first episode opened with a certain scene where something happens, and the third episode you kind of get some gratification. You get to take care of, finish off something that happened in the first episode.
Ooh, so, let me guess. Peter Dinklage says you need to defend him while he's hacking a computer.
Close.
Okay.
But not close at all.
Okay. But he's not the Dinklage bot. He's just a midget.
Right, right.
I'm sorry. PC term is little people or little midgets, I think. I don't know if that's correct or not. I'm not PC, so I'm PlayStation.
So, yeah. Anyway. That's about it. Excuse me.
For Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And
okay. Shovel Knight.
So I played a ton of Shovel Knight. I probably have 10 to 12 hours in already, and I did play it on the PlayStation 4. I did cross-play it to the PlayStation Vita, and it plays great on both. I think I picked the wrong level to play on the Vita, though, because it was the Tinkerbot level is what it was called. And one when you get to the end, you start doing platforming that goes scrolls from bottom to top. So the screen seems a little too small for that level. Other than that, it plays fine, controls fine. So, but I'm just jumping off the screen. I'm sure it probably had the same problem on a normal screen, but I don't know. And it's pretty neat. They have a lot of different nods to, you know, like I showed you the Kratos thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I did make a video for that. So if you want to check that out, you can check my YouTube channel out, or I posted it on our Double Tap page on Facebook too. So
yeah, I haven't been on the interwebs like almost all week. I've only been on like Facebook and whatever like a couple times this week, so I'm really behind on a lot of stuff. But when I open it up today, oh boy, saw some goodness. Saw some good, some bad, and some ugly, but we'll get into that in a minute. But so how far in do you feel like you are in Shovel Knight? Do you think you're like halfway through or 75%? What do you think?
I want to say I probably have one more mini boss than I have the main boss. Because I got a trophy that says I defeated all the wandering travelers or whatever. And then I have, there's always like a locked gate and it says you have to defeat a certain character. Well, at this one point there was like three of them in a row and I defeated two of the three. And so I think I have one more, and I'm assuming there's probably a big boss behind that, which I don't know for sure. So I'm just speculating there. So, and I know I'm over halfway because I got a trophy that says halfway there a while back.
Okay.
So. And there's a trophy for beating the game in an hour and a half, so you could probably beat this game pretty fast if you want to. But you can go back and play game or play stages over and over and just keep building up your gold too. So I was doing that to get some upgrades.
Right on.
So, but yeah. What game did you play anything this week?
Man, I finally freaking beat the main campaign to Bloodborne. Finally.
Nice.
Finally, victory was mine. It took me a while only because I started doing these side dungeons that were called Chalice dungeons because I went ahead and made up my mind to go for the platinum on this because, like I said, this game was a challenge to me personally from the get-go and I wanted to do it, but whenever I set my mind to do something, you know, I go full bore on it. I don't hold back. So I wanted to go ahead and get the platinum on it. And in order to get that, there was a particular weapon that I needed to get from the dungeons. So I had to work from the bottom and go all the way to where this one weapon is and get to that. And the enemies were almost way OP for me, but I still trudged through anyway and got it anyway. And I finally got the trophy for getting all the weapons and all the special items in the game. So I'm literally like four trophies away from my platinum. Nice. But in order to get three of the four, I need to get to the end of the game again, and I'm on New Game Plus right now, and I need to do two different endings, which there's actually a tutorial online that I saw that I'm so thankful that I found, because if I didn't find this tutorial, I was going to have to beat it all the way through a third time, and I'm really not looking forward to that, especially since on this New Game Plus mode, it almost seems to be that all the enemies are stronger than what they were the last time around, because and even in the very beginning area, my strongest weapons are still taking like 3 to 4 swings to kill like the most minute of enemies. And when I was playing on the last playthrough, my strongest weapons were killing them in like 1.5 hit. Nice. So like now it's seeming to be like, oh, well, you have all your gear, so we're going to make it harder for you again. It's like, oh, you assholes. But it's cool because it makes it challenging still. And, you know, on New Game Plus mode, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, I get to go back through and be OP and just annihilate these. Nope, not in Bloodborne. In Bloodborne, they're like, no, we still hate you. We're not going to show you any love because it's Bloodborne and we hate you. So, but it's okay. It keeps the intrigue and it keeps everything that you do in it, again, worthwhile, and it still feels satisfactory to get through a certain part. So that's what I'm doing, working on the platinum and going back through a second time again. Other than that, did a little bit. I went old school and got got my Black Ops 1 on because, you know, of Black Ops 3, which is another thing we'll be getting into. But I went back and I played some old school Black Ops, and the multiplayer on there was really, really fun. I didn't see any hackers or modders or anything on there this last weekend, and I had a blast with it, man. I forgot how fun it was. And you know, how good of a job they did with the older Call of Duties, Treyarch, I'm speaking of. And hopefully, even despite the trailer, like which I said we'll get into and everything, I really hope that they maintain their level of their level of commitment to how much fun the game can be.
Right.
You know, I appreciate what Sledgehammer tried to do with the XO and everything. They tried to put something new on, you know, a formula that's been tried and true and give it that little something. But to me, I've always been the kind of person of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Call of Duty is fun the way it was, and playing the Black Ops over again just further cemented my belief that the old school ways are the most fun. And I just like, even though they had the lame dolphin dive, which they could completely get rid of the dolphin dive in my opinion, and I would be fine with it, like, and just add the baseball slide. Like, that's like one of the newer things that they've done with the series, is the baseball slide, that I actually enjoyed, because that's like a natural thing to just want to run and slide into cover somewhere, you know, instead of like, who wants to run and belly flop? You know what I mean? That's just like, it doesn't even sound appealing. But I feel like the old school ways worked. The aiming mechanics were so tight. I felt like every shot that I hit should have hit, and every shot I missed made sense that it missed, you know? And it's one of those things where it's like, I just really, really, really hope that whatever new things that they put into this Black Ops 3 is just an addition of the older formula that they had. And I was super excited to see that they added zombies again. That it looks like traditional zombies, but we're going to get into that in a minute. But that's what I played, was the old school Black Ops, that and Destiny. And that I downloaded Never Alone, which was an indie game that was free for PlayStation Plus subscribers. And it's about a little Alaskan girl whose companion is a white fox, which looks, you know, pretty cool. The look and feel of it kind of reminded me of another game. I don't know if you've ever played it. It's a black and white game where you play as the spirit of a little boy looking for his sister. Well, I say spirit because like that's the vibe that I got from the game, is that you were in purgatory. And I cannot remember for the life of me what the name of the game is. But it kind of gave me that same kind of vibe as that game. And it was a lot of fun when I played that. So Never Alone, I'm looking forward to kind of getting into that this week.
You said it was a black and white game?
Yeah, not Never Alone. The game that
is it Unfinished Swan? Yeah,
reminiscent of. No, it wasn't Unfinished Swan. It's about, like I said, it was a 2D side-scroller, and you play a little boy. And I think, I want to say, like, the setting is you're in purgatory, and you're looking for your little sister. And, God, I can't remember the name of it. It's going to drive me crazy, and I'll know I'll remember it or look it up as we're talking.
That's right. But you can look it up later, and we'll shout it out later in the show.
It was a lot of fun, that game was. And this game, Never Alone, kind of reminds me, it's reminiscent on the look. And from what I've seen of the gameplay, it looks a lot like that, like the feel of it. So I just that's what I'm going to be playing this next week until, you know, something else comes out. And yeah, that's all I got on my play right now.
All right, right on. So I'll let you look that up and I'll talk for a little bit. So I watched the Mad Max trailer for the game. They had it on the Xbox Marketplace. I seen they had posted the Mad Max video game trailer or whatever. And I had watched that. And that game looks pretty awesome.
Yes.
It looks like they got a lot of vehicle combat in it. Mixed with like Batman kind of fighting.
Right.
So, it looks, to me, it looks like a Borderlands with realistic graphics, you know. I don't know what you think, if it looks like that or not. You know, it reminds me of Borderlands with like the Wasteland and then
Limbo,
but better graphics. Oh, Limbo, yeah.
Limbo.
Yeah,
right. Good on. God. I don't know. It's just one of those one word titles I just could not remember. But Limbo. Limbo was the game that Never Alone kind of feels like, except for the exception that Never Alone is like all in beautiful color and it looks really good. But yeah, sorry. Anyway, I had to get it out. I had to get it out. I had to find it. Limbo.
Right on, right on.
Anyway, but yeah, no, Mad Max, I saw some of the gameplay for it, and I saw the gameplay trailer, and it looks great. It's kind of like you said, it feels to me a little bit of like if Fallout 3, Batman Arkham Asylum, and Borderlands had a three-way, and that was the baby, was Mad Max.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of mechanics from different things, and sometimes when they do stuff like that, for me, it really works well. Like when they did, dear God, you might have to pause this because I can't remember for Darksiders. Man, my mind is just drawing a blank. I've been super busy all day today, but yeah, Darksiders is another game where they took a lot of elements from a bunch of different games and they put it together really well. Now, it didn't really receive well on the grand scheme of things, but it did well enough to spawn the sequel. And I know that there hasn't been any talk about further sequels lately, but I really enjoyed both the first one and the second one because they took elements of like Zelda and God of War and Portal and like a bunch of different things, and they put them all in this own little universe with its own mythology. And I loved the hell out of it. Like, I really liked playing as, you know, two of the four horsemen, Death and War. And it just really, really came off well for me. So this kind of seems like it's another thing that they're going to do on the same kind of concept where they're taking like aspects of Batman, the Arkham games, and then things of like, you know, Borderlands and Fallout 3, as far as like the Wasteland and how massive it was, and that element of, you know, there's really messed up people out there and they're all out for themselves and, you know, you're just trying to survive. But with the thing with Max is, he's a solitary kind of character. You have a companion character throughout the entire game, from what I understand, because he rides with you when you're in the vehicle combat part. But as far as Max is concerned, he could die and he could really not care less about him, because that's just the kind of person that he is. Now, from what I've heard, there also is a dog companion character, but I don't know how that's going to fit into the gameplay because I haven't really got a chance to read too much into it or you know, explore the different mechanics of that. But it just looks really, really good, and I can't wait to kind of get into it because it's a new start. It could be a brand new IP, and they could actually, this is something they could continue on with. So as far as tying in with the movie, though, I have no idea if it's going to be like within its own universe or I know the creator of the original movies is lending a hand in the game itself to keep Max as close to his original vision as possible, you know, to how Mel Gibson kind of portrayed him and all that stuff.
Yeah, I heard it's going to be its own universe. It's not going to be tied to the actual movie universe itself.
Okay, that's good. But the movie, though, itself looks great. I think Tom Hardy was a good choice as playing the new Max. And I'm looking forward to seeing the movie as well as playing the game. So
the game's supposed to come out September 1st.
Oh, September 1st? Yeah, that's a little while away then. Until September, though, we got us quite a handful of goodies to get into before that happens.
Yep. Hopefully, that Black Ops beta that we talked about.
I feel like that beta will be coming out probably around E3, if not during E3, because I think it would be good marketing for Treyarch to sit there and release that beta around the same time that everybody else, like the media and everyone you know, important as far as gaming news comes along and gets their hands on it, that's when they, I feel like they should release the beta publicly to all of us that have got the pre-order, which I am included in that because I just got my code today. So I think that that would be smart for them, if not like immediately after E3. You know what I mean? Like, let the press have their hands on it and da-da-da-da-da. And then, like, possibly the week after or the week, you know, following E3, they do the open beta for all of us who pre-ordered it or whatever.
Now, I could see it happening before E3. I could see them getting, you know, getting some numbers down. And just to kind of boast at E3, be like, hey, you know, we have so many players playing the beta now. You know, if you also want to get involved, the beta is still going on. Just get out there and pre-order the game. You can be part of the beta as well. You know, kind of, you know, get that going. You know what would be badass, though? What won't happen is something else we talked about, though, is if they said, you know what? We're going to go against the grain here, and this is going to be the first cross-platform. Doesn't matter if you have Xbox or PlayStation. You can play with your friends regardless of what system they're on.
That would,
but it's got to be next-gen. You know, obviously you can't play... Right. PS3 to PS4 kind of thing, but
yeah, it is funny that you mentioned that because you know, there were some people that had talked to me at like Sunday and Monday, like as soon as they saw the reveal, excuse me, they were like, man, you guys said that on your show that there was that, you know, you'd mentioned a beta, or wouldn't that be cool if there's beta? And I was like, yeah, that's kind of a coincidence, huh? And we mentioned that on our show like literally the week before the release of the worldwide reveal. And then they went ahead and revealed there was going to be a beta. Oh, yep, a quinky dink. But yeah, no, I was thrilled when they confirmed the beta. And I can't wait to see whether or not, on top of what they're going to do as far as the multiplayer, I'm interested to see if they're going to include in the beta zombie stuff. Now, that would be awesome for me personally, because that's always been one of my favorite staples of the Treyarch's Call of Duty was the zombies. And if we got like a little teaser level or like a little something, you know what I mean? Even if it's like a little trailer within the beta, that would be pretty cool. Now, I don't know. Something that a lot of companies have never done was let you continue your progress from the beta, from whatever beta you played. Uncharted did it for Uncharted 3. They got to let you keep certain things, but... I'm pretty sure I'm right on that because I was a part of the Uncharted multiplayer beta, and when I picked up the actual game, I continued off from like level 12 or something like that. I can't remember for sure, but on a game that massive that the world plays multiplayer, I think that it'd be interesting for those of us who get to play the beta to be able to keep at least something from your progress, because they didn't do that with Destiny at all.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that they would, because it seemed like getting to level 8 in the beta of Destiny took forever, but it really didn't take that long at all.
Right.
But I think that'd be kind of cool to at least be able to keep like a loadout or a gun or something, or at least get some kind of, you know, a special skin or camo for your gun or something because you took part in the beta.
Right. I think the best bet would just be give you kind of a like a badge or something you put in your emblem or something.
Right.
You know, just because you took part of the beta. You know, a lot of betas really don't give you any kind of, you know, a head start, you know. If someone doesn't pre-order it, a lot of people pre-order the game, but there are a majority of people that don't, that'll just go out and buy it day one. So those people are going to be at a disadvantage if, you know, everyone keeps their level from the beta. Which is weird, though, because sometimes it seems like when I go out and buy a game day one, like with the previous Call of Duties, I get it at midnight and I start playing. There's someone almost at level max already. Have you ever had that?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Like in Ghost, especially, it was like the first night, someone was like a second prestige already. I'm like, how the hell do you do that? You know what I mean? And
they obviously had the game early or something.
Clearly,
something had to happen there.
The thing is, like, I feel like.
But who are they playing?
Right. Like, who are they? Like, well, there's like there have been several people I've seen like that, and if you look on the PlayStation Live app, I will notice that like a whole week or two in advance, people will be getting games that aren't even out yet.
Yeah.
Like when The Order and Bloodborne came out, I was watching on PlayStation Live, and there was people that was playing it like 2 weeks before it even came out. I'm like, how the hell do you do that? Like, I understand time zones are like it might be a day or two max ahead of us, but yeah. like that's 2 freaking weeks. You know what I mean?
I remember seeing an article where Walmart had put out the order in like Tennessee like a week early, and right. they had it for sale. Right. So I don't know if sometimes that you might get, you know, dumb luck like that where you get it that way or.
But that was just like one example. There were several things like all the way back to Infamous Second Son. I noticed people were playing it like way before it came out. And I was like, how the hell do you have this already? You know what I mean? So it's just, I don't know. People are lucky. People get blessed, I guess. But I'm not one of those people. Not at least when it comes to games anyway.
So if you did miss the world reveal for Black Ops 3, it's to release on November 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pre-order it, you get multiplayer beta. And the zombie mode is going to have progression in it. So I don't know if it's going to be like multiplayer progression where you get upgraded, you know, upgrade your weapons, unlock perks and whatnot. I wonder what they're going to do with that.
I wonder if it's going to be something similar to Ghost's extinction progression where...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where, you know what I mean? Like, you can level up your character as you go and get, like, you know, upgraded perks and get, like, you know, different like, sentry guns upgraded or this and that and the other. So, it'd be interesting. It'll be interesting to see for sure. All I know is it looked to me, and I'm just taking this info solely based on the reveal trailer, but it looked to me as if we're going back to old school classic zombies where... It's just the regular zombies, and they break through the windows, and because that's kind of how the trailer showed the zombie. Like, it got done with like the campaign portion of the reveal, and then the screen went to the release date. Then all of a sudden, you heard the zombie yell, and you saw a piece of the screen being tore away. Then you saw another piece of the screen. Then you saw the zombie like hand and head break through like the screen, basically yeah. like they break through a window. So I got super excited for that because I'm like, yes, finally, classic zombies. You know, and I'm a very loyal person when it comes to storylines. And when Treyarch first started doing the zombie stuff and they had the original characters, Dempsey, Nikolai, Richtofen, and Takeo, I got kind of attached to those characters because it made them so badass. And then when they went full circle on Black Ops 2 and brought those characters back for the very last map, which was actually an origin story... And spoiler alert, revealed that this entire time, all the zombies maps was the culmination of the imagination of two children, Sam or Samantha and Edward, that were playing with action figures this whole time. It just sparked my imagination as far as like the storyline in the new Black Ops Zombies, because I'm like, oh God, what if, you know, it continues from there? Like, what if, because there were so many things that happened in the final cinematic if you completed the Easter egg for Origins. And there was one of the characters that existed in the storyline that was talking in the background. And I'm like, oh, what if this zombies picks off from there, where it's like, you know, now it's Edward and Sam grown up and they actually are fighting zombies themselves now. And, you know, da 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 da. So like, I'm really excited to see what's going to happen. And despite the fact that it looked like there was some augmented body parts, excuse me, man, indigestion's a bitch. Anyway, there was some augmented body parts and things that you can do from the campaign, it looked like, in Black Ops 3. I'm really, 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 really hopeful that it's not just going to be an EXO repeat, because I would be so disappointed if they just thought, oh, well, obviously Advanced Warfare was, you know, a success, so let's just continue in those footsteps, because I'll be the first one to cancel my pre-order if that's the way it goes. I didn't see anything like EXO maneuvers or EXO jumping or anything like that, but I did see like a super punch and a melee with your fist instead of a knife. So
I did see one EXO jump in the trailer.
You did?
Yeah, you seen a guy like kind of like he jumped up and he slid over and in the Black Ops 3 trailer.
Yep. I missed that. Maybe I blocked it out on purpose. Right. I don't know. But I just really
at least it looked that way to me. I had to rewatch it and double check.
The only like super quote unquote super jump that I saw was from a third person view where one of the characters had these like two glowing, like, green sticks or swords of some kind or whatever, and he was, like, jumping, getting ready to thrust them into something or someone. And
that could all just be in campaign only, too. That could be something that they didn't do in the multiplayer.
That's the other thing I was hoping, was that they just take that, super ability equation out, because it'd be weird. First of all, how would you feel, or what do you think about playing, like, your entire multiplayer, quote-unquote, career, like, seeing your character have, like, robotic hands or arms or whatever? That would be weird, right? Is it just me, or would that be weird?
It might just be you. I don't know, man. As long as it's fun, I really don't care what he looks like, man.
I just feel like from the original Call of Duties all the way up until now, I was really hoping that this one wasn't going to be another future thing.
Right.
But I guess for that particular storyline, it is the natural progression, because Black Ops 2 takes place in the future. And, you know, it only makes sense if they're continuing the series for this one to continue even further on. But, you know, I got to wonder if it's going to do with Mason's family or his kid, or what's going to go down. Because obviously Woods has got to be dead. You know what I mean? Like, he, unless they cryogenically froze him or downloaded his memory into something, which, you know, being like 2065 or whatever the hell it's supposed to be.
Is they Wolfenstein him a little bit.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like mechanical Woods. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which, that's kind of a weird conundrum in itself, mechanical Woods. But, I don't know what they're going to do, obviously, and I'm excited for it, but at the same time, I'm holding a little bit of reservation, because I have wished and hoped, you know, for things like for Advanced Warfare. I had the highest hopes that it wasn't going to be another Ghost, and for me, in a way, it was almost worse than Ghost. Almost.
I don't know, man. I think Advanced Warfare wasn't as bad as people give it slack for. I think the new mechanic threw people off, so, and then it's changed. A lot of people just don't like change, which is fine, you know.
I don't mind change as long as it's for the better, you know, like going from World at War to Modern Warfare 2. That was a change, and I loved it. Modern Warfare 2 is still always going to be one of my favorite Call of Duties.
I still love both those games. World at War was a great Call of Duty, I think.
It's great, man. The tanks, you actually had vehicle combat and whatnot. It had just about everything, and that was the introduction into zombies.
Yeah,
but, yep. I feel like there was just...
And you can actually do the campaign co-op in that one. You could do that was one of my favorite things to do in that.
Oh, that was something that they added, that they said that you're going to be able to do in this one. You can do all the campaign four-person co-op if you want to.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you can actually go back into co-op in with your buddies. Up to four people can co-op with you throughout the entire campaign, and it's the legit campaign, and you don't have to worry about, you know...
I'm pretty excited about that. I didn't remember seeing that. So that's
no. They said that was going to be. I watched a couple different videos from Treyarch, and that was one of the things that they said they were doing different this time. This going back into their origins of Call of Duty. Some of the things that people enjoyed from the past Call of Duty Treyarch series was that they enjoyed doing co-op through the campaign, and not just segments or particular missions from the game. You know, it was the entire campaign.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well.
So, yeah, that's I think that'll be good enough Call of Duty Black Ops talk for now. But, man, that's a beloved series. I hope they don't screw it up, man.
Me too.
So, I'm just going to mention a couple things. These things we don't really need to touch on too much. Phil Spencer said that at E3 that they're going to announce a new first-party exclusive. So that's no surprise there. I mean, E3, that's what it's all about. The main thing for E3 is for them to talk to investors and to consumers there. So that's what they want to do. They want to come out with their big guns. So Phil Spencer being the head of Xbox, of course, he's going to try and build a pipe there. You know, pretty soon you should see, you know, PlayStation trying to give us, you know, a little bit of hints of what's going to happen there. And of course they did too. They just trademarked a new PlayStation Vita that's got R2 and L2 buttons and HDMI output. I'm kind of stoked for that, because I really like my Vita. I really wish it had an R2 and L2 button. Now that they have trademarked one in Japan, I'm hoping it comes stateside, but I don't know if it will, since the Vita's not doing too strong here in the States. Another thing is Mass Effect 4, that whole survey thing. The Mako's going to be returning, and it's going to be upgradable, stuff like that. I'm kind of excited for. I didn't really like the Mako controls in Mass Effect 1. I'm hoping they tune that up or, you know, fix it better, you know. Being on the old systems, I could see why, you know, they couldn't touch it up better, you know.
Something to add back on your Microsoft bit. I heard that Microsoft is actually going to be doing a HD re-release of the Gears of War trilogy for the Xbox One.
Oh, right on. Yeah, so, I'm sure they will, or if they are, you know, I don't know if they have a release date yet on it. It would be a smart move to say at E3, hey, we have this and it's out now, or hey, it's coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wonder how that's going to work, if it's going to be Black Tusk doing it, or because I believe that was Epic that did the original three, and now it's Black Tusk doing the new one. Mm-hmm. So it'd be kind of curious to see who does that HD remaster.
They did say it was the original trilogy.
So,
I'm guessing it probably would be Epic and Microsoft, but, I mean, who knows at this point.
Yeah, but I think the rights now are at Black Tusk, so I think they even have the rights to the old game, so.
Wow.
That'd be kind of cool to see how that works.
Yeah.
And then ODST, the HD remaster, is on track to release in May, so. And that's the one you get free if you bought the Halo Master Chief Collection and had played it and dealt with all the problems it had. So, and ODST actually was really fun if you played Halo. It was a little different. That's the one where they tried to go more Call of Duty. You had the HUD. It was the aiming down sights, stuff like that. I like that Halo. A lot of people didn't. I thought it was better.
Now, that's one dumb, silly thing, right? Like ODST?
Yeah.
One dumb silly thing. I don't know what that stands for. What's ODST stand for?
It stands for ODST, man. That's all I know. I'd have to Google search it.
Is that like a new type of venereal disease or what?
No. Nope.
Oh.
It's not STD. It's DST.
Oh, gotcha. Well, that's completely different.
It stands for Dave, stop talking.
That kind of makes sense. I should probably do that. Especially on this podcast. I have nothing to say.
No, I'm just messing with you, buddy. No, and then, Square Enix is having their own press conference. So now we know Bethesda's having theirs, Square Enix is having theirs, and that's the kind of good news. I think Square Enix, hopefully, for Dave's sake, they might finally have their Kingdom Hearts 3. Is that the game you're looking forward to, Dave?
I've been looking forward to it. I just stopped looking forward to it now, so that way I get excited when they finally have a fucking release date for it.
So this might be the year Dave at E3, so we'll get Kingdom Hearts 3, you got Black Ops 3, you'll get Devil's Dice 2.
Whatever that is. Is that like a back alley game?
You ever play Devil's Dice 1 on PlayStation 1?
I played Craps in an alley with some people before.
Crabs? Nope.
Nope. No Craps? Oh, okay. Nope. Well,
no, I thought you said Crabs.
No, Craps.
Like, you know, the ones you have?
No, I don't have Crabs. I eat crabs.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, Joe's Crab Shack, the Red Lobster.
Right on. And the last thing we can touch on a little bit is the Silent Hills was canceled.
Ooh.
Yeah, that. Now they said they're still committed to the future title of Silent Hill,
but
the one with Norman Reedus's likeness is canceled. The Silent Hills game is no longer being continued. So,
because apparently Konami doesn't like money anymore.
I wonder what was going on behind the scenes there. If it was his schedule with The Walking Dead, if it was technical problems, or if it maybe was story related. But it seems from the PT, the playable teaser, that they had to be pretty far along in the game. You know, they had. Sound like they had a decent storyline going, because it seemed like he came home, he killed his wife.
From what I understand, it had nothing to do with Norman or Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
And it was all the BS and drama that's going on between,
Kojima.
Kojima and Kojima Productions and all that, yeah. And Konami. Yeah. So, thanks a lot, Konami, for being D-bags and pissing off Kojima, and he's going to take his weird little ass somewhere else now, and now we're never going to see Silent Hills, ever.
Yeah, that's. I wonder if we'll see. It'd be kind of weird to see him come out with a game, maybe titled something different, but the same premise, and Norman Reedus in it.
They just need to have, like, Norman Reedus kicks ass, and then have it be a bunch about, like, you know, Supernatural crap.
Right?
With the guys from Supernatural. Ooh, that's my new game. I'm pitching it. It's called Sam Demon Norman Kick Demon Ass. Sell it. Buy it. Buy my rights. I made this shit.
So, the last Silent Hill game I played was on the PlayStation 1.
Mm.
That's how long it's been that I can remember. I may have played one on the PlayStation 2. I know I didn't play any on the PlayStation 3.
I played them all except for Downpour.
Well, if you count PT, I played PT, but...
Not Downpour. Origins. Origins was a PS2 game, and it was obviously the prelude to or prequel to Silent Hill, the first game. I have it. I played like the first hour of it, and then I stopped playing it because I lost interest. But I didn't play the remake that they had for the Wii just because it did horrible, number one. Number two, it sounded god-awful because they took away a lot of what made the first game so great and decided to make it basically like a choose-your-own-adventure type of Silent Hill. And that's just lame. Don't do that. Don't kiddify it and make it something it's not. It's just stupid. But, excuse me. Ooh, I'm possessed, people. Good Lord.
Speaking of demons, man.
Speaking of demons. I played every other Silent Hill, every other major installment that came out, all the way from the first one to the last one, which is Downpour. And, man, the first three are, like, the best ones. Four I liked. It was called Silent Hill The Room. And I liked it because they did a different take on it where when you are actually in the room and in certain parts of the game, you're in first-person view. And it was so freaking creepy because in the apartment, different things in the room would change. Like sometimes you would see like a face in the wall, or sometimes there'd be something like covered in blood that wasn't there before, or there'd be a picture missing that was there before with like lettering behind it, just something different. And then you would go into the world of Silent Hill in the regular third person and, you know, you would fight the demons and solve the puzzles or whatever. But you could only progress so far when you got back to the room. And then you would have to find out what was different and what was new in the room. And you find out that the room itself was actually haunted and linked to Silent Hill through a serial killer. So it was actually really good. But that was like the last, for me, like the last best one they did. Downpour was okay. It felt a little bit better than Homecoming, which was the one before it. But I don't know, man. I started losing my faith in the Silent Hill series. Which sucks because I was a huge fan of the series, especially when it came out. And my wife was a fan of it just by watching the last... it was like 3 and 4 were her two favorites because she never got a chance to watch me play 1 and 2. But it was one of those things where it had a great eerie setting. It gave you all those fearful feelings that you would play when playing a game, like helplessness and, you know, not knowing what to do and being lost and all that crazy stuff. So they took away from that, kind of like they did with the Resident Evil series, when they got into like 5 and 6, where they made it more like action centric and they made you feel more of like a macho movie, you know, character than you actually were survival horror. Like for me, it stopped being survival horror like in Resident Evil 4. Like even during Resident Evil 4, there was more aspects of like action than it was survival horror, which was cool because it took the series in a new direction. But I think they went from being like, When they did my Resident Evil 4, it was like Martin Scorsese was directing 4, and then Michael Bay took over for 5 and 6.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, so, was definitely actiony in 5. So
yeah, so it was just it. I think they just need to go back to their old school ways. And once again, it's like I said before, man. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And yeah, the series needed a revamping, but they didn't need to stick the revamping chuck full of steroids, throw in Michael Bay, and freaking make Chris Redfield look like mini White Hulk. You know, like it was just unnecessary. So I feel like a lot of things that have changed over the years changed way, way, way too much. You know, some, like I said, some change is good, but not if you're breaking away from what made the original thing so great to begin with. So that's all I got to say on the matter of that stuff.
Yep. I got, man, I don't know what it is, man. I have a feeling that at this E3, there's a game that's near to me that I have a feeling is going to come back, and that game's Parasite Eve.
Oh, you think?
I don't know why, man. I have dreams about this game. I think it's coming back this year, man.
What was it? Was it Aya?
Aya. Yeah, it is. I don't know how it's pronounced, but yeah.
It's a Japanese game. It was by Squaresoft.
Yeah.
It was Squaresoft back then when it was out.
Now that they got their own conference, I'm like, Parasite Eve would be a great game to come back. If you opened up all the doors, got like a special ending at the game.
And they're one of those things is Square Enix now is almost becoming its own Cinderella story, because back when it was still Squaresoft and it was, you know, kind of running low on things to produce, that's when it came out with Final Fantasy, which is why the original was called Final Fantasy, because basically if that game wasn't a hit, their company was going to go under and they were done. So when Final Fantasy came out, it sold like wildfire and it became a hit, and they kept going all the way to where they are now. And this last demo for Final Fantasy 15 just blew people away, and everybody is so excited about it. And the last couple of games that they've done have not done bad. So now I feel, and we'd made mention about this a few episodes back, where we think that Square Enix was probably on the verge of extinction. But now they have their own E3 press conference coming out this year.
Final Fantasy VII HD remake might be coming. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would just cement their place in gaming, you know, in the
forefront.
Hall of Fame, man. Like, they wouldn't go anywhere if they would just make Final Fantasy VII. Like, just redo it. Like, leave the entire story intact. Leave the entire story, but just give us that 1080p graphics at a million frames per second, however you can do, whatever is possible. 60 is fine. I'll be fine with 60. But just do it, Square Enix. Just freaking do it. If you want money.
You still okay with random battles, though?
I'm still fine with random. Like,
yeah, me too.
You're on your toes.
I know a lot of people think that won't hold up. I think I'll be fine with random battles,
like,
man.
God, in this day and age, just when you're on. Okay. It's kind of the thing of how I felt in Bloodborne coming across this game where I'd be coming down a corridor, then all of a sudden some random ass monster pops out in front of me, and I'm like, holy shit, I can't die because I'll lose all this stuff that I got. Even though back in the Final Fantasy games, you didn't necessarily lose everything, if you progressed so far and didn't hit that save point before you died,
you're
screwed on everything and had to do that chunk all over again. So like, if you leveled up 5 times and then died and didn't save, you were having to re-level up those 5 times again. So, you know, it did give you that sense of urgency to find the new, you know, the new checkpoint or what have you. But yeah, I would be fine with random enemy encounters, because that separated the men from the boys, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, that was the one thing that was just like, if you can't hold your own on an unexpected fight, then you were screwed. You know, you just were not going to be able to do that. You were obviously not going to be able to defeat Ruby and Emerald and an Omega weapon either.
Oh, right.
Not going to do that. But yeah, man, just thinking about a brand new version of Final Fantasy VII would definitely be something that would keep Square Enix head and feet above water. But Parasite Eve would also be another great, great installment. Especially if they just went ahead and rebooted and even kept the characters the same and was like, here's our brand new Parasite Eve. The story is just a little bit different in a way that it makes sense this time around.
Yeah.
But that would be great for them. I feel like they would be the forerunners for a new survival horror IP, because there's a lot of people that are having a hard time keeping up. You know, like I said, the Resident Evil series has been flopping on its ass, and Silent Hill hasn't done anything great since the early days. So I just feel like if they went ahead and did that, not only would they be dominating on the RPG front, but then they would be dominating also on the survival horror, because they did a great job with the original Parasite Eve games. So, yeah, that would be awesome if they did that.
Yep. So let's just real quickly go over the games that came out today. State of Decay Year 1 Survival Edition on the Xbox One. Great game. If you have an Xbox One, that's a must play. It's a zombie survival horror game, of course. and you got cars, you got missions, you get safe houses, and it's permadeath, and you play as multiple players, you level them up. It's worth playing. It's $30. If you bought it on 360, it's you get 33% off, so you get it for $20, and you get all the DLC that comes with it. So go get that. For PlayStation 4, you got Tropico 5. You get that digitally or retail. That's, I think, the only retail game besides State of Decay.
Isn't that that red fruit punch drink?
Sounds like it. Sounds like it. I take that back. The Omega Quintet is another digital retail. You can get that one retail as well. That's an RPG idle simulation. So
say that again?
It's a RPG idle simulation. So apparently you sing at people?
Oh.
Like American Idol, maybe?
Okay, Idol. I thought you meant Idol, like IDLE. Like, okay, so simulate doing nothing.
Right, right.
That sounds great. But an Idol ID, or, yeah, IDOL sounds almost worse than IDLE.
Yeah. Definitely not a game I'm going to play. PS4 on the Vita, you get Broken Age digitally. It's cross-buy. I believe that's Act 2. I want to say Act 1's already come out, but I could be wrong. It doesn't say Act 1 or 2. It just says Broken Age. So maybe the full game's out now. And Paranormal Pursuit, the Gifted One, comes out on the PS3 only. Project Root on PS4 and the Vita, that's also cross-buy. Risk on the PS3. Sketch Cross on the Vita. And that's it for our games coming out this week. My pick of the week, obviously, is going to be State of Decay, Year 1 Survival Edition.
If I had an Xbox, that's what I would choose.
That game is amazing, and it's well worth $30. I would have paid $60 for it.
So, ungame-related, I found out a bit of news today that I got way too hype for a man of my age to find out about. Dragon Ball.
Full House is coming back for a miniseries.
I hate you so much. I hate the hell out of you. Just kidding. No, that's that. Who cares? No one's going to watch. I mean, the only people that are going to watch that are people who still think Bob Saget's a great actor.
Right.
And that's like all of 5 people. So anyway, fucking Dragon Ball is going to have a brand new series for the first time in 18 freaking years. And I am retardedly excited for it. Like, to the point where when I read that news, I got me some animal crackers. I jumped in my onesie pajamas. And I just sat there and drooled while eating my pajamas, or eating my crackers and my pajamas, apparently.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man.
But yeah, no, freaking, I can't wait, especially if Akira Toriyama is heading the project, which I thought that's what I heard or read. But, man, they needed a new Dragon Ball show, only because there's been a lot of...
I've never watched Dragon Ball.
Man, you know, and it's okay. I mean, you could be lame, dude. It's all right. I still like you.
It's all right, man. I never watched it, man.
It's okay. The only thing that I was never a fan of, even though I was a huge fan of the show, clearly, because my PSN handle is Goku.
Right.
But one of the things I always hated about the show was how they would sit there and scream at the top of their lungs and power up for what seemed like forever, only to fight for like half an episode or like 5 minutes, and then it would be almost like over too quickly.
Yeah.
So it's like they are really good at drawing out hype for something and then being over way too quickly. Kind of like first time I had sex. But anyway, I digress. I was just kidding. That didn't happen that way at all. Not that you're ever going to know.
Right.
But yeah, no, it's about time. Like, they keep releasing movies and stuff for the show. And they have all these other really good shows out there, like Attack on Titan, and Naruto's been out for a long while now. And I as a fan of shows that have been coming back wrong, I really hope that this one comes back right. And when I say shows that have been coming back wrong, like, through my kids, I learned that they did a Looney Tunes reboot kind of thing, and that kind of sucked. And then all this, like, they had... You know, the Transformers came back a little while ago. The new Ninja Turtles had a show, or they still have a show on Nickelodeon, which whatever. But, like, you know, again, going back to the old school stuff, like, the way that it was fine. Like, it doesn't need to be any different other than not so many fillers, because fillers for everybody suck no matter what you're watching, whether it's, you know, a live-action TV show or anime or whatever. Fillers always kind of suck. And then don't scream for like three freaking episodes just to fight for 5 minutes. If you're going to scream for three episodes, fight for three more episodes. That's right. How I fight. You know, if you're going to spend all that time powering up, make it last, goddammit. That's all I ask for, Toriyama. That's all I ask for. Just do the damn thing, okay? And I might give you money this time.
Right on.
But yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Well, that's all I got too, so let's go ahead and wrap this up. I thank you guys for listening, like always. I have been Tony. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyTheGamerGuy. Check out my YouTube channel. I just posted a new video on how to find Kratos in Shovel Knight at TonyTheGamerGuy there. My Twitch handle is the same, TonyTheGamerGuy. So it's all pretty simple. Tony the Gamer Guy. Check out our Facebook page at The Real Double Tap. And check out Dave's. Your YouTube channel is Goku Order 5?
Yep, same as my PSN, Goku Order 5. And I have a bunch of videos from my Bloodborne boss fights, which there, I just remembered that there was a boss fight that I didn't record because the first time I did it, I didn't have it in my mind that I was going to do all the boss fights and record them all. But I went ahead and recorded like pretty much every major boss fight through the game. So if you want to watch all those, you can see those on, you know, the Real Double Tap Facebook page, because I'm going to repost those there, as well as YouTube. And they're all on YouTube for sure, every single one of them so far. And I, like I said earlier, I just beat the game, so the final boss battle will be mashed up together. Probably I'm going to do the song to the background on that one as Star Set My Demons, which if you know that song, it's a great song, and I think it goes perfectly with the fight and the game because it's about fighting demons and monsters or whatever. And yeah, I actually had a lot of fun playing the game, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to have fun making the video. So please check me out on there. YouTube, Goku Order 5. PlayStation, Goku Order 5. Twitch is Wade Merc with a Mouth Wilson. And Twitter is
Deadpool Order.
Deadpool Order. You had to remind me because I forgot my own shit.
Yeah, it's all good.
I never even had a Twitter until we started doing this, so I forgot that I had it. So please follow me because I'll definitely make sure I'll be watching.
All right, guys. Have a good day, good night, good weekend, whatever. Whatever it is, take it easy. Be sleazy.
Thank you, everybody, for listening and wasting your time with us, as always. And we will look forward to seeing you all in the next episode, or listening, or you listening to us, or maybe I'm a peeping Tom and I'm outside your window right now. You don't know.
Yeah, vacuum that carpet. It's kind of dirty.
Okay. Out. Peace.